Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
How you doing? So grateful that you are diving in with us today into our 6 a.m. soap, or if you're watching later on in some other platform, YouTube, all the good stuff. We are jumping into Psalm chapter 17 today. I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. However, just to emphasize, the translation of the Bible isn't the most important thing. The most important thing is that you're reading it. So if you're an NIV fan, hey, champion that NIV. If you're an NLT person, champion it. But I'm a CSB guy, so I'm going to read from the CSB today in case you want to follow along. But we have our folks here on 6 a.m. Hey, what's going on, 6 a.m. squad? Good morning. So good to see all of you. But hey, let's pray and let's jump on into this passage today. Father, thank you, Lord, that you have a desire to speak to us. And Lord, that you've given us your written word to show us who you are, show us your ways, and show us what you want to do inside of our lives. So, Holy Spirit, I just pray you would speak to us today. Let the words come alive from the pages. We just honor you. We give you space in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Whew. All right. So exciting. So I want to start off our conversation really quick with a question. And the question is this: what do you do when life just doesn't feel fair? What do you do when life just doesn't feel fair? Because we've all been there in this spot at some point in time when life just does not feel fair, right? Maybe you were applying for the promotion at work and you've been overlooked for the promotion over and over again. And you keep on getting a manager that is underqualified and not best for the job. Come on, we've all been there at some point in time. Maybe it's not for the promotion for you. Maybe your friend group, somehow in some way, every time they go to Chili's, forget to invite you. And you see on their social media, on Instagram or whatever it is, hey, they keep on going out, but somehow in some way, my phone number doesn't end up getting texted for the invite. Maybe you just feel a little bit left out and it doesn't feel fair. Maybe for yourself, it's inside of your finances, and no matter how hard you work and you've been Ubering on the side in addition to it, you still can't get ahead. It just doesn't feel fair inside your finances. Or maybe it's a little more serious and it was this sudden loss of a loved one. And it just doesn't feel fair. What do you do when life just doesn't feel fair? And I want to share with you, I love God's word because it gives us insight into all things that we face inside of our life. Because right here in Psalm chapter 17, David was dealing with this same exact thing. You see, David, many Bible scholars believe, wrote Psalm 17 as he was fleeing from the king at the time, King Saul. You see, David had fought faithfully inside of Saul's army. He defeated Goliath. You know, the old school story that gets quoted in so many different sports games. It's a David and Goliath situation. David defeated Goliath under King Saul. And Saul actually put David in command of his army, and he was successful in everything that Saul sent him to do. David even married Saul's daughter, Michal. He was married to the boss's daughter. And then you could see that David's life from the outside looked really successful. Everything he did, he ended up winning at it somehow. And for so many, you could say he was living the Israelite dream. Then one day, something changed. And we see in 1 Samuel 18, verse 28, it says, Saul realized that the Lord was with David and his daughter Michal loved him, and he became even more afraid of David. As a result, Saul was David's enemy from then on. I find that so interesting. So you're winning a bunch of battles for me. You're married to my daughter, and she really loves you. And in all of that, I look at you and I get so jealous that, right, what does he do? He doesn't schedule a family meeting to talk through his jealousy. He doesn't say, hey, let's get some lunch. Let's sit down over some whatever. Let's get a cup of coffee together and let's chat this thing out. No, instead, he says, you're my enemy. And what he does is he says, I am actually going to put my son Jonathan and all my servants and give them the assignment to kill David. This is amazing to me because the Bible so often is like an incredible soap opera. If you ever get tired while reading the Bible or you get bored while reading the Bible, listen, look at it through a different lens. Because if we understand some of the context behind what it is that we read, we'll look at Psalm 17 with a little more entertainment. So, right here, we see that Saul begins to hunt down David, which puts us in Psalm 17, where scholars believe that David's just running from Saul. He's in the wilderness. David's life was far from fair. He was faithful to his father-in-law. He was faithful to his country. He was faithful to his wife at the time. And in spite of all of it, he was still getting hunted down in the middle of the wilderness. You see, everyone has experience when life doesn't feel fair. But rather than seeking revenge, coming up with a plan to retaliate against Saul, David turns to God, which lands us in verse 1, where it says, Lord, hear a just cause. Pay attention to my cry. Listen to my prayer from lips free of deceit. Let my vindication come from you, for you see what is right. You have tested my heart. You examined me at night. You have tried me and found nothing evil. I have determined that my mouth will not sin concerning what people do by the words from your lips. I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps are on your paths and my feet have not slipped. So good. Just give me one. So sorry, battling these allergies. So, verses 1 through 5, we see the first beginning part of how David deals with things when they just don't feel fair. And the first thing is this, and this is for all my note takers, it's point one, it's this, it's vindication. Vindication. The definition of vindication goes something like this. It is clearing someone of blame or suspicion. It's proof that someone or something is right. And I know so many of us, so many people, when they end up facing situations that just don't feel fair, maybe it's the coworker that's gossiping about you behind your back. Maybe it's the family member that has called absolutely everyone to talk about whatever disagreement you got into. And sometimes we feel the need to go ahead and get this thing called vindication. It's clearing ourselves of blame, clearing ourselves of suspicion, trying to prove that we're right. But I really like this because David doesn't go and argue with Saul. David doesn't go to Saul's army and immediately start pleading his case. Instead, he turns to God and says, I am going to go to the person that can really change things. And he says this, Lord, hear a just cause, hear a fair reasoning point inside of my prayer. And he says, listen to my prayer. And I think this is an incredible note for us today. If I got note takers, this is right. Write this piece down. God listens to my prayers. God listens when I speak to him. And there's something so powerful inside of that. There's breakthrough. There's something reassuring. Because whenever I talk to people about this concept called prayer, right, as we're in a series right now, teach us how to pray. So often when I talk to individuals, when I talk to students, they feel as though when they pray, they're just speaking out into the air. Is God actually hearing me? Is something going to happen? The answer is this, yes, he's hearing you. Yes, he's listening to you. So often we have to mix our words with faith, knowing that God is listening. So right here, he says, listen to my prayer. And I find that so challenging at times when we may be in those situations that feel unfair. Because David didn't call his five friends, He didn't post on social media getting chased by Saul. He didn't complain about it to his favorite Starbucks barista while he was getting his favorite order for $7. No hate on Starbucks, it's just I can't afford it. He goes to the only person that can do something about it. He goes directly to God. And I wonder how many of us need to hear this today, because there's nothing wrong with having that close person that you talk to. There's nothing wrong with having that individual that you can spill your guts to and share, man, this just is not a fun situation. But can I tell you, there is nothing they can really do for your situation, right? I remind myself often, I love my wife so much. Every time I go to her with a frustration, a complaint, something that may not feel fair, whatever it is, she offers so much comfort and also challenges me at the same time. But my wife cannot change the situation that I'm in. Where are my people at? She can't do anything about it. She can't step in and be my savior. She can't step in and move someone's heart. She can't. You know what she does? She listens really well and makes me feel heard, but that's the end of it. How many of us, although we love to feel heard, would love to see some breakthrough inside of the situations inside of our life? We'd love to maybe see some things change inside of our life. I want to tell you, hey, we can connect with the people around us, but we have to go ahead and connect with God as well, which is why David says, hey, listen to my prayer, God. I want to see breakthrough inside of my life, because vindication in our life isn't going to come from us. It's going to come directly from God. I find so much comfort inside of that, because then I don't have to rely on people. Instead, I'm relying on the only person that can really change anything, right? If you've been overlooked for the promotion time and time again, my encouragement to you is this: trust God's timing. Share with him everything that's on your heart. You can complain to the friend. This is why we love connect groups. Don't be afraid to go to your connect group and be honest there. However, the Lord is the only person that could really change the situation, really change the outcome. Because here's the truth. Either I can try and manipulate my way to the end goal, and right, because when I get there, if I manipulate my way there, when I get there, my strength is going to have to be the thing that sustains me. But if God brings a breakthrough because he's heard my prayer, then when I get there, he's the one that gives me his strength to sustain me. So the question sometimes is this: hey, as we're praying, whose strength do we really want? Do I want to make it happen, or do I want him to make it happen so I can rely on his strength? What do you do when it just doesn't seem fair? Don't feel the need to fight the person. We don't battle against flesh and blood, but against powers of darkness, principalities, and spirit of the air. You see, I fight my battles inside of my prayer closet. That's the best place to war with anything. Because here's the truth, church, if we lean into anything, here's the truth. We don't have to vindicate ourselves, because God has such a love and a desire and a heart for his church that we don't have to sit here and take things into our own hands. Instead, we can give them over to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who wants to vindicate us all in due time and all in due season. But the question is this: in our vindication, do we want it in our hands, or do we want it in his hands? I would rather God take care of it than me take care of it. Let your vindication come from God. So verses 1 through 5 highlights this idea of vindication. This idea, right, we see David, he says, hey, I've lived faithfully before you, God. Will you vindicate me before Saul? Will you vindicate me before the people? Because David could have easily had started making flyers, could have passed it all around the city, could have tried to win the favor of people, but instead he said, God, I'm going to lean and rely on you to protect my name and protect my life. So vindication is what we see. Next, we see is this in verses 6 through 9. David says, I call on you, God, because you will answer me. Listen closely to me. Hear what I say. Display the wonders of your faithful love, Savior of all who seek refuge from those who rebel against your right hand. Protect me as the pupil of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who treat me violently, my deadly enemies who surround me. I love this. Verse 6, I call on God because you will answer me. You see, I wonder how many of us, when we pray, we have this type of confidence that when we call on God, he'll answer us. Does anyone have that kind of confidence? Maybe we want that kind of confidence today. I want that kind of confidence that when we pray to God, we say, Lord, I know you will answer me. Whether the answer is yes or whether the answer is no, you will answer me. And he says, hey, I want you to display the wonders of your faithful love. You see, right here, David isn't just praying a prayer based on what he wants, but he's praying a prayer based on the character and nature of God. Which this is why I think it's so important that we come closer to Jesus so we understand who he is, so we know how to pray, right? There is a reality that my beautiful son, okay, I love this kid. I think I talk about him almost every soap at this point. He is 14 months, maybe 15 months now. He's starting to get older, and he is almost running at this point. At least when I come in the door at night, he comes running up to me to give me a big hug. But what we discover recently, you ready for this? This is what we discover recently, that the cabinet that contains all of his snacks, all of them, not some of them, every last one of them, is the one cabinet that we forgot to put a lock on. We locked every cabinet in the house. We childproofed everything. But what's the one cabinet we forgot is the cabinet that contains every snack that our one-year-old enjoys and goes crazy over. Okay. And my child can do sign language. Okay. My wife is raising a genius. When he wants more, he knows exactly what to say. When he wants help, he knows what to say. When he wants Miss Rachel on the TV, the famous YouTuber, he knows the sign for Miss Rachel. And it's remarkable. I'm like, every time I turn around, the kid is communicating to me with his hands, going, dad, dad, like, pay attention. And the other day, he goes running up to his snack cabinet that has everything. And I mean a bag of Cheerios the size of him, right? And he comes walking around the corner with a bag of Cheerios that, just it's the height of my child. Half it's over his shoulder, the other half is like this, and he's going for it. And he's saying my name over and over again, dada, dada, going crazy. And I'm sitting there thinking, what the heck? How'd the kid even get the bag out of the cat? Like, it's bigger than you. And as he's coming up to me, he's looking for me to give him Cheerios. I'm like, child, I just fed you dinner. And the kid can eat. He throws down and you're still hungry. And all I can think is, you were in a spot that you shouldn't have been in. You got something out that you shouldn't have gotten out, but then you're bringing it to your dad to go ahead and handle and give you some. And I stopped and I, when I was reading this, all I could think was what he was doing was coming to his dad based on his dad's nature because he knows his mom's not going to cave, but his dad will cave immediately. If my kid comes through the set, I'm a softy, but I'm not all at the same time. When it comes, I'm a softy. When it comes to my kid, like, can you bring me this? I'll give it to you. There's just no for me yet. I don't know what it is, but he comes with it, and I'm like, yeah, I definitely open up for you. He didn't say mama. He didn't run around the corner and say mama, mama, and put it in her hands. He said dad, 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 knowing well that his dad would take out a handful of Cheerios and put it in his hand and say, here you go, son, enjoy. Why? He was coming to his dad based on his dad's nature. He had experienced over the course of the past year that his dad will almost always, 99% of the time, if he comes to him with a snack, will break out the snack and give it to him. When he comes to his dad and needs help, his dad, because he knows sign language for help, when he comes to him, his dad's gonna help him and he's gonna make it happen, whatever it is. I'm sharing this with you because my son, if he experienced me for 1 year and that little one-year-old brain has grasped this concept that when he comes to his dad based on who his dad is and what his dad has done for him, because of the relationship that they've built. Imagine so much more our relationship with Jesus. Because think about this, we are the children. You are a daughter and son of God. And when we spend time with him, when we get to know his nature, when we get to know his character, we can come to him, as David said right here, display the wonders of your faithful love. How did David know that God had faithful love? He experienced the faithful love. There is something about faithfulness that like it just shows up even when you don't think it'll show up. The wonders of his love, the one, come on, the wonders. the beauty of what God can do inside of our life. And inside of all this, David says, hey, will you protect me as the pupil of your eye? The protection. I love my little boy, my son. Okay. This just started in the past month. He started getting so bashful when he's around people. And he stands up and he just hides behind his dad's leg and he peeks out over and over again. He's not afraid of, he's in a phase, right? But he's relying on his dad for protection, knowing his dad will protect him, right? I wonder how many of us have to hide behind the leg of our Heavenly Father today and stop fighting the battle and say, God, will you protect me based on your character, your nature? Lord, will you show up on my behalf based on who you are? I wonder how many of us need to lean on God in this way and say, I'm just going to be a son today. I'm just going to be a daughter today. God, I come to you based on my relationship with you, knowing that you're faithful, right? Because he's faithful even when we're faithless, knowing that you love us, right? We just went through this through the summer road trip series that Pastor Brennan was leading us through, right? Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us. It's so beautiful. And maybe we just have to write this down today. My note takers, I got you a couple things. Ready? If this is something that I write down every time I find myself in this chapter and a few others in the Bible, where it says the pupil of God's eye, maybe you just have to write this down and say, I'm the apple of God's eye. I'm the focus of God. When I wake up, he's thinking about me. How beautiful is that? When my eyes open, I know he's focused on me. When I lay down in bed, he's still focused on me. And maybe that's difficult for some of us to grasp today, because maybe our relationships with our earthly fathers or earthly mothers weren't the best. It was a little more difficult. But I want to share this with you. Your Heavenly Father has such a deep love for you, a deep love for you. And we have to sit in this reality that God has a faithful love for us. And God's faithful love shows up in this on David's behalf and on our behalf, and that's protection. Because in verses 1 through 5, we saw protection. In verses 6 through 9, or excuse me, verses 1 through 5, we see vindication. 6 through 9, we see protection. We see protection because David comes to God and he says, in those first opening verses, and he talks about how his heart and his steps have been with God. And then this next piece, he says, I'm calling on you. I'm calling on your nature. I'm calling on your character. Will you protect me as the apple of your eye, the pupil of your eye? Lord, I know your eyes are on me, but will you protect me from the people who are chasing me? Will you protect me from the people who slander me? Will you protect me from those who are against me? And inside of this protection, he's relying on God's love to cover him. And maybe some of us would remember Psalm chapter 23. You know, it's one of my favorite chapters when it comes to protection. If you remember any piece of it, a portion of it goes, "You anoint my head with oil." And we know Psalm 23 as the chapter of the good shepherd to the sheep. And guess what? Jesus is our good shepherd, and we are his sheep. And it says, as he anoints our head with oil, this is so symbolic to how he protects us. Because one thing we know is a shepherd protects the sheep from perceived threats, right? The perceived threats are the wolves, the perceived threats are the bears. The perceived threats are the things that come in the middle of the night to try and steal the sheep. The shepherd always steps up on the sheep's behalf. And I am very grateful today that we have a good shepherd that stands up on our behalf to protect us. But there's also seen threats and unseen threats. And this is where "you anoint my head with oil" comes in. When we study shepherds and how they would care for sheep back inside of the Old Testament days and in David's days, they started realizing something, that sheep themselves would have an issue with flies. Not to be too gross today, but I'm going to give you a little shepherding lesson. Flies would land on the sheep's head, they would go in the sheep's ears, and they would lay eggs inside of the sheep's head, and it would cause a lot of pain to the sheep. They would be going through it. Some of them wouldn't survive the process. But however, it was a really horrible thing, because then it would tear the shepherd apart, because look at my sheep inside of pain. And the sheep would go through it. So what they discovered was, if they anointed the sheep's head with oil, the flies would land on the oil and they wouldn't be able to move and go anywhere. So they couldn't lay the eggs inside of the ears. The shepherd was protecting the sheep from threats that it didn't even know about. It wasn't just about the wolf that would come and try and take them. It was also about the little tiny flies, the unseen threats, the little things that they didn't even know were going on around them, flying around their head, that would actually end up causing them more harm they could ever realize. I'm sharing this with you because there are seen threats and unseen threats in our lives that God gives us protection in that we have no idea about. In the protection, imagine this. The things that God shows up in inside of our life, this protection can go all the way to, you know what? I was driving and I got stuck at a red light. Right, I'll share a story with you in this. I was leaving work one day years ago when I was working in a restaurant. And as I'm leaving and I'm driving home, and this storm breaks out, and it's one of those green sky storms. I got stuck at a red light for 5 minutes. Anything to know about me? I love deep, but my patience isn't that deep. So from 5 minutes at a red light, just know I'm praying because I need Jesus. Genuinely praying though. And I remember sitting there, I was so frustrated while I'm stopped at this light. And I'm like, all right, come on. Like I was trying to get to Shannon's house. You know, I'm going to we had dinner plans, we had this and that, but this crazy storm is going on. The wind is everywhere. And I'm just like, all right, come on, come on, come on. Like, I just want to get through this red light. Well, as I'm driving to her house, I'm on her street and I'm coming down, and right in front of me, an entire tree falls. And when I say directly into the street and smacks the street, excuse me, hits, and my car is right by it to the point where just one branch brushes the hood of my car. And I stopped and I thought, if I didn't have the red light, I would have just gotten smacked by a tree. Here's the beauty. When we're following Jesus and he's anointing our head with oil, he is protecting us from the unseen threats that we don't even know about. Sometimes you have to thank God for the red light because he might be protecting you from the car accident you don't even know about. Sometimes you have to thank God that you didn't get the promotion because inside of that area, you have no idea what would have come with it. Sometimes you got to thank God for those moments that you think, I didn't want to feel left out. It doesn't feel fair, but sometimes you have to thank God because sometimes his fairness is showing up in a way that you don't even see yet. This is his protection over our lives, that he's showing up in our life in a way that we may not even know about yet. So first we see his vindication, we see his protection over David, and then finally we see this in verses 13 through 15. Let's read it together really quick. It says, "Rise up, Lord, confront him," talking about Saul and his people. "Bring him down with your sword. Save me from the wicked. With your hand, Lord, save me from men of the world, whose portion is in this life. You filled their bellies with what you have in store. Their sons are satisfied, and they leave their surplus to their children. But I will see your face in righteousness when I awake. I will be satisfied with your presence." Finally, we saw vindication, we saw protection. Now we see satisfaction. We see satisfaction. David writes in verse 14, he says, "Their portion is in this life." You see, their portion, it really means this: hey, everything that they're in pursuit of is inside of this life. And so many of us, maybe we have friends, maybe it's us, when we had all of our portion in what we wanted out of life. Maybe for some of us, we were just trying to get the big house. And we just wanted that big house. We wanted that big house. We wanted that big house. Maybe it wasn't the house, but we really wanted the spouse. Or maybe our portion in this life, that what we were chasing after, is the job, is the promotion, it's the social status, right? For millennials, Gen Zs, Gen Alphas, like it's all about fame. It's all about influence. It's all about being known. If you ask the majority of them what they want to be with their lives, they want to be YouTubers because they just want people to know who they are. They're after being recognized. But I want to share this with you. We, as Christ followers, Fusion Church, you and me, right here, right? Let's lock in together for a minute. You and me, our portion is not in this life. We can have blessing in this life. However, our portion is Jesus. Our portion is our relationship with God. Our portion is eternity with him. We are not living for this side of eternity. We are living for the forever in a relationship with God. I'm not, am I invested in what God is doing here? Yes. But my anchor isn't in this side of life. My anchor is in eternity with Jesus. So since my anchor's in eternity, I don't live for today. I live for forever. So our portion, what we're after, isn't inside of this life. It's not the house, it's not the spouse, it's not the job, it's not the promotion, it's not the whatever. It is a relationship with Jesus. He finds his satisfaction in God. Verse 15, it says, I will see your face. When I wake, I will be satisfied with your presence. You see, do I enjoy watching the Eagles beat the Rams? Yes. Will I enjoy watching them beat the Buccaneers? Everyone said yes. However, can I tell you something? I find so much more joy sitting in the presence of Jesus than I do watching a sports game. I'm sharing this with you because maybe you've been missing this component in your life. Maybe the reason you haven't been feeling complete is this component in your life. Maybe for some of us, hey, I gave my life to Jesus years ago, but there's something I feel like I've lost somewhere along the way that makes me feel incomplete. Can I tell you, maybe this is the key for you today? Satisfaction. Finding your satisfaction in Jesus. With him, like I would sit down with my best friend. You know that best friend that you could sit on a park bench with and you don't have to say anything? Like, I'm good just sitting in silence with you. Just sit in silence with Jesus. Enjoy his presence. You know what? Shannon and I have this habit. Whenever we're driving home late from somewhere, we just hop on the phone, we leave it on speaker, we'll talk for 5 minutes, and we'll sit in silence for the rest of the 30-minute drive for some reason. However, for both of us, there's just something comforting and finding joy in sitting in the silence with the person you love. You can sit down with Jesus and just be satisfied in his presence. Maybe this is something that we've been missing in our lives, that we just need to be satisfied with him. And this is where ultimate contentment comes in, where I don't have to fight for everything I want and fight. No, instead it's I'm satisfied in Jesus. My joy is inside of Jesus. My joy is in the reality that after this life, I have an eternity with Jesus. We have our vindication, our protection, and our satisfaction. I want to tell you, sometimes we have to unhinge, right? We gotta unhinge the trailer from the temporal and hinge it to the eternal and say, God, I'm going to stay focused on you, focused on the truth that there's so much more beyond this. And I have to go ahead and say, God, I'm just going to sit down with you. My question for you is this: hey, what are you really satisfied in right now? Where is your satisfaction lying in? Because if it is in the things of this world, please hear me. And this is just my heart for you. If it's in the relationship, if it's in the what, right? Right now, my wife is 2 weeks out from giving birth to a beautiful baby boy. Okay. She's pregnant, right? I love my wife, but my satisfaction, right, my contentment is not hinged on her because she is 9.5 months pregnant. Okay. Those emotions are turbulent. Okay. And guess what? They're allowed to be. No one will argue or shame a pregnant lady, and everyone said amen, right? But I can't attach myself to the turbulent emotions. Does that make sense? Like, you experience, I'm here for you, whatever you need, I'm making it happen, right? And every husband said yes. However, my emotions, my satisfaction has to be based in Jesus, has to be rooted in Jesus. Because 9.5 months pregnant and she's still got her head on her shoulders, praise God, and she hasn't taken my head off my shoulders, thank you, Jesus. If I want to keep my head on my shoulders, I want to love the person I love most well, right? Come on, this is our husbands, our wives. I want to serve the best I can inside of my church. I want to be the best friend I could be, coworker I could be. Guess what? It's from our satisfaction in Jesus, because that's what keeps us steady. It's what keeps us anchored. That no matter what comes up against us, no matter what storm we find ourselves in, no matter if we're getting chased in the wilderness by Saul, by our father-in-law, maybe you're not getting chased by your father-in-law. Maybe you are. Maybe it's not your father-in-law. Maybe it's your mother-in-law that doesn't want to kill you with the sword, but kills you with their words when they see you every time you go over. Am I striking a chord with anyone? All of these things. I want to tell you, if we are anchored in those temporal moments, there's little blips on the radar of history, our emotions will be turbulent. However, if we anchor ourselves in the reality that Jesus is Lord over all, if we anchor ourselves in the truth that we belong to eternity, we belong to heaven, we belong to a relationship with Jesus above everything else, suddenly these moments seem so much smaller than they really are. So I ask you this, where's your satisfaction? Where's your satisfaction? And sometimes that telltale sign is, how deeply am I affected by the things around me? How deeply am I affected by whenever something happens? Am I turbulent with emotions every time something? I want to tell you, if we find ourselves on a roller coaster quite often, I want to just speak into your heart for a moment. Maybe we just got to start finding our satisfaction in Jesus because of that. So number one, our vindication. Our vindication should come from God and God alone. If I feel the need to go and attack, if I feel the need to go and defend, if I feel the need to go and do whatever, guess what? If you get vindication by yourself, you will have to find the strength by yourself to sustain afterwards. However, if we trust God for our vindication, we can believe that He's going to show up on our behalf. Number two is the protection. God loves us. God loves you. And we have to rely on Him for protection inside of our lives. And He will show up before you. He will protect you from the things that you see and the things that you don't see. And finally, your satisfaction. Get your satisfaction in the Lord. He wants to be your one and only. He wants to be the reason that you live. And because guess what? You are the reason that He died for us, to have a relationship with us so we can root ourselves in the reality that heaven is a lot longer than our life here on earth. Come on, let's pray together. God, thank you. Lord, that when life doesn't seem fair, we can know we have vindication, protection, and satisfaction inside of you. That as we look at David's life, as we see that he was going through it, that God, it's an example to us that even when he was in the midst of it, Jesus, you were still in his life. So Lord, I just help us, give us eyes to see, ears to hear what you're doing. God, awaken us to the reality that you love us so deeply. Lord, help us not to want to seek vindication, revenge on our own behalf. God, show us to sit in your presence and sit in your protection. And God, help us, give us grace to be satisfied with you and you alone. And we pray, so we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, love you all. Have an incredible day.